La Francophonie is now on. Until March 31st, enjoy contests, performances, free film screenings, and local activities to cultivate your Francophone roots. Join in the fun and visit rvf.ca today.
When I say beat, you say banter. Beat.
Banter.
Beat.
Banter.
When I say beat, you say banter. Beat.
Banter.
Beat.
Banter.
Join us every Thursdays at 1 on CRC for your special time with your favorite nuclear family.
My name is Aiden.
And this is Ella.
And you're listening to The Only Show.
Beat Banter.
On CFRC Radio.
Beat.
Banter.
Banter.
Five, four, three, two, one. Showtime. Are you ready? Give it up for your host, Gino Alash, on Rockroom Radio Show.
Radio, your rock station.
Fill my soul. The charred remains of the holy rollers scream repentance, though it's far too late.
I fight back the laughter at what I see. The suffering hereafter, false destined prophecy.
Protect myself.
and puppets. Someone's drawing me to the other side. Only time will tell my true destiny. We'll be right back.
late.
Radio, your rock station.
Yeah! you by my side. I know I'll survive the night like dust in the wind. I'm restless with no end. I'll find the man who sinned. Death heavy on my mind. The wounds will heal in time. My strength will win the fight. The sun begins to rise.
Radio, your rock station.
Go away, come back another day. lives have tried to teach that there has a beauty. Empty too I have become. For them I must die.
Broken Radio, your rock station.
Race.
An ungrateful, troubled place. See the sadness in their eyes. Despoil of all the passion. Look at the pain around me. This is what I cry for. Look at the pain around me. This is what I die for.
Sadness go away. Come back another day. Things I've said and done don't matter to anyone. Still, you push me to see something I can never be.
Why am I
shattered king?
I don't mean anything. See the sadness in their eyes. Despoil all the passion. Look at the pain around me. This is what I cry for. Look at the pain around me. This is what I die for.
Broken Radio, your rock station.
Let's go back to the very beginning, because the purpose of part of this interview is to really give fans who maybe aren't as familiar with Iced Earth sort of a perspective on what Iced Earth is all about, where it's coming from.
Right.
So let's go back and start probably in the mid-80s, mm-hmm. and let's talk about John Schaefer in the mid-80s, and he has just made the decision to move to Florida. So talk about that time of your life, what's going on, and what were some of the reasons for you making that decision and pursuing a career in music?
Well, there's... that's a lot of stuff to talk about. The official start date of the band, and I looked this up the other day in an old photo album, which is pretty funny. was January 20th, 1985. Okay. So that was when I officially started Purgatory and put it into place and had guys that I was jamming with, high school buddies and stuff. And anyway, what led to the eventual move to Florida was I was, you know, just a rebellious, troubled kid, you know, and was in a lot of trouble at home. And my some people know that watching over me on Something Wicked was dedicated to a good friend of mine. And when he got killed, that was kind of the catalyst that, you know, I decided that I needed to get out and get on with my life, because it was headed for a lot of trouble if I would have stayed at home, because just I wasn't getting along. I was having a problem with my parents and stuff. And hey, I'm guilty, you know. I take responsibility for my actions. You know, I was a rebellious guy and caused a lot of trouble. So, but I grew up very fast, because when I split from home, it was make it or sink or swim. That's what it was. And so, you know, I decided to swim. And so when I did move to Florida, it was I was 16 years old, and I went down there and for a period of time lived in the car and in abandoned houses, you know, and kicked in the doors of abandoned houses in Sulphur Springs area there in Tampa, and would sleep on the floor and stuff. And we went to the rent-a-bum place, and, you know, the daily labor deal is to get any kind of work we could. And it was just me and one other guy, Greg, who was the original drummer in the band. And we, you know, went through some pretty serious shit back then. It was tough times, no doubt. And you know, I couldn't even hardly play guitar then. He could certainly not play drums, and he didn't even have a drum set. But it was like, you know, my attitude was, we're going to go and we're going to make it. You know, I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to. You know, and I think part of that burning desire, that ambition that was so strong, was wanting to make that dream come true for my friend that had died, because he was my blood brother. He was my best friend, and from the time of like third grade on, you know, until he died. And so that was a heavy period. And that's when I moved it to Florida and get there.
Okay, so you now decided to start a band. You obviously have a fair amount of motivation, fair amount of ambition, fair amount of drive. So talk about the time from first entering the music world to the time when Eistert actually lands their first record deal. Talk about that process, and then what led to the first record deal.
Well, we did a lot of, at first, you know, like the first place we actually had a chance to jam in I was a roofer, a hot mop roofer back then. And we would go in our shop where we stored all the kettles and the dump trucks and all that shit. And they would let Greg set up his drum kit, you know, after 6 or 8 months of being down there getting jobs. He had one layaway and finally got one. And, you know, I got a better guitar and a halfway decent amp. And so anyway, you know, we ended up jamming in our shop, and then we put out ads and stuff and ended up meeting people. And Richard Bateman was the first bass player in Purgatory. Well, actually the second one, but the first in Florida Purgatory. The guys came down from Indiana and didn't last. That's another long story. They ended up taking off and running away back home to mommy and whatever. So anyway, where was I at?
So we have the second bass player in Purgatory.
Right. Okay. Richard Bateman.
We're jamming
right
in the back, right?
Right. Richard was in the band then. And Gene, that's when we met Gene from the first album. And Bill was in, Bill Owen. And so that was like the first Purgatory lineup. And Greg and I, and we did a lot of gigs around in the Tampa Bay area and developed a pretty good following. And that was really, the horror vibe was huge then for us on stage. We'd all dress up in these like long black robes and would act out the movies on stage. You know, we'd have some guy dress up as Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and another guy is Jason from Friday the 13th. And we had songs based on a lot of these gore flicks. And like Gene we had a glove made that looked just like Freddy Krueger's, because we had a song for Freddy. And then we had Jason would come out from Friday the 13th, we'd actually have like a plastic bag taped to Gene's side full of cooked pasta and raw liver and Carol syrup with red food coloring, so it looked like guts. And Tracy, our guy that was playing Jason, would come up and slash the bag open, and we faked it in a way that it looked like he was actually cutting Gene, and we'd throw the shit out in the crowd. And I mean, we did a lot of stuff like that. We'd have Tracy dress as Leatherface also and chase a girl out of the audience with a chainsaw, and, you know, just we did all kinds of stuff, and people either loved us or hated us, and that was, which was good, because it was always, even in that small of a level around town, we were very controversial and hated or loved.
The last thing that you want is, you don't want people to have no opinion. You want them to have an opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And we were definitely hated by a lot of people, but a lot of people that hated us always paid to see us, you know, so that was kind of always funny to see. But anyway, we did that for a while, and then the eventual change of the name came, that was in 88, I think. It was right around the time that we started doing the Enter the Realm album, or the EP, which was to be the demo that got us signed. We did that recording, changed the name of the band, and for those of the fans that don't know, I changed the name of the band to Iced Earth because of my friend Bill Blackman had suggested the name when we were young kids, and so it was a thing to honor him, and that's why we did it. So, but anyway, we did the Enter the Realm demo, and Tom Morris was pretty instrumental in helping me figure out a way to get it out to the press, you know. And so he said, you know, what you need to do is do a good quality demo and send it to everybody, every address you can get. And that's what I did. I felt like at that point in time that we were tight enough. The songs were better, the players were better, and we were getting to the point where I thought it was time to start seriously shopping. And so we did the recording, manufactured the things and the cassettes, and I think we sent out about 1,000 of them for free worldwide, and it got a huge response from the European underground press, or actually everybody, even Rock Hard, which is a major magazine there. They voted it demo of the month, and eventually it became demo of the year. And we sold a lot of copies through the mail because of that, and it was an expensive demo. It was $10 back in, you know, 1989.
Wow.
And we charged it because it was, you know, I mean, even back then I did the nines, the best that we could do for what we could afford. You know, we made a killer looking package, nice J card that folded out, had, you know, full color, nice cover, you know, for what it was. And it was a professional thing, and it was expensive to do it. So we charged more, and we knew it was worth it. You could pay $4 for a demo that sounds like shit and sounds like it was recorded on a 4-track. I mean, this was album quality, an album quality EP. So I put the price on it, and a lot of people complained until they heard it, and then it became like this big cult thing, and in Germany in particular. So that's what led to the Century Media deal. And from there, you know, comes the album.
Yeah, comes the next phase of Iced Earth's history. So
Broken Radio, your rock station.
I can't believe this now. This isn't what I played. Lived and died and now I just can't understand. With all the love I feel, I could never leave her. No matter what the cost, my soul's the price to see her. Oh, how I love you. They won't go away. Oh, when I need you, you're always so far away. I cry for you, leaving myself to blame. I died for you, I gave up everything. Pain was just too much. When I finally saw her, she's happy and in love, in love with my best friend. What makes it hurt so bad is that I love them both, and they will never know. Love, I sold my soul.
I cried through the anger and through the tears. I felt his spirit through the years. I swear he's watching me, guiding me through hard times.
I'm feeling once again. It's overwhelming me. The spirit's like the wind. Angel guarding me. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. He's watching over me. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. He's watching over me.
He shed tears like all best friends. Blood brothers at the age of 10. He lived reckless, he paid the price.
Why did he have to die?
Still hurts me to this day.
Am I selfish for feeling this way? I know he's an angel now. Together we'll be someday. Once again, it's overwhelming me. The spirit's like the wind, the angel guarding me. Oh, I know, oh, I know. He's watching over me. Oh, I know, oh, I know. He's watching over me.
Oh, I know, he's watching over me.
Oh,